900 K1, and that makes it time for a City Matters program, an opportunity for me to welcome in City Manager Ed Gordon and members of the staff and or management of the City of Bartlesville.
Well, we have to have a civics lesson this morning.
Yes, sir.
And
there are 10 amendments in the Bill of Rights. What did you have in mind?
Well, I'm talking about this specific day.
This specific day, yes, sir.
All right. This is called Columbus Day.
It is. Well, actually, it's the official observance of Columbus Day, which traditionally was celebrated on the 12th of October.
That is correct.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
And then in 1920-something, they changed that.
Right.
And made it more of a floating day to match the holiday to a particular time. By the way, the City of Bartlesville is open.
Thank you.
When I heard you make that announcement this morning, I took off my work clothes and crawled back in bed. And my wife said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, Charlie Tarpoletti just said the city's closed. Why would I go?"
Well, there you go. I'm glad that I have reached that such an authoritative structure that even the city manager takes my word for it.
I was very quickly corrected
and good-naturedly reprimanded for that.
Yes. All right, Charlie, back to
it
where
we were.
It was a
public reprimand, which is typically not done by good employers.
By good employers, yeah. But then there's Kevin.
Yes.
Okay, but and, of course, Queen Isabella was approached by Columbus.
An Italian goes to Spain for help, yes?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And in 1492...
Yeah. But Italy was not one major country with a leadership at that time. It was quite a few very small monarchies across the country of Italy at that time.
Right, but that we're celebrating Columbus Day
we
today.
Are, yes,
because he discovered the Bahamas or somewhere down in there.
Yeah, there were already cruise ships there, I think.
So somebody already beat him there, but we do celebrate the discovery of America. Today, and of course, this has been a day that we have celebrated in the United States for hundreds of years, literally. And so today is Columbus Day. Now, the civics question, we have the vice mayor here, and along with the fire chief.
Okay.
But the question is the name of the three ships.
I get to go first. The Nina. Nope, that was the wrong one.
You're right so far.
So far.
You got one right. You got two.
Oh, I thought I'd only do one.
No,
we're not leaving one for the chief.
Well, chief.
Welcome to Give Back Your Life. Say the secret word.
Santa Maria.
And take
is
home
that
an extra $100.
That's Santa Maria. That's two. The Nina, the...
Pinta.
Pinta.
Like beans. No, Pinto. But Pinta. Close.
Okay. Probably enough of that. Have Chief John Banks here.
Yes.
And particularly... Charlie, he's here because this particular week is focused on Fire Prevention Week.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Now, Charlie, where did Fire Prevention Week get its start?
That I cannot answer.
You're from Illinois. You
I
should
am.
Know.
The Great Chicago Fire.
The Great Chicago
and
Fire.
Because the fire department went north to Wisconsin instead of to Mrs. O'Leary's cow.
To Mrs. O'Leary's cow, which kicked over the lantern that started the Great Chicago Fire, which is, of course... folklore, but
it is.
We blame it on Mrs. O'Leary's cow anyway, bless her heart. But that's what started it.
That's
2,000 acres of Chicago burned off, and then the focus began on fire prevention. And here's our chief of the fire department, John Banks, Johnny Ray. We call him Johnny Ray affectionately.
I'm sure you do.
At the city, he's called Johnny Ray. Everybody calls him that.
Yeah, Ed calls me that, and a few other people.
It's only because I've known him for 30 or 40 years.
On a good day, that's what they call it.
Yeah. John, talk about fire prevention.
Well, like you all already spoke, it came from the Chicago Fire back in 1871 that burnt like 2,000 acres, 17,000 structures. There was about 300 people lost their lives. And
it turns up on the voting records too, I imagine.
Yeah, probably. And like I say, they blamed it on a cow. I don't know, there's a lot of other theories that they came up with, but that was the best story, so that's kind of what everybody's...
I like the story that the fire department went the wrong way, but, you know, that's probably as well documented as a cow.
Well, that's probably why they burnt 17,000 structures, you know. Maybe they was circling the block trying to find it. But anyway, and then some, I don't know, I think it was 1920 or something like that, President Woodrow Wilson, he claimed the week of that Chicago fire as Fire Prevention Week, or actually Fire Prevention Day, and then sometime later it was changed to a week-long fire safety. It's always in the week of the October the 9th, typically, or usually always is, whatever that full week is. And this week they have, every year they give it a little theme, and this year's theme is Don't Wait, Check the Date. And what that is on the back of your smoke detectors, the manufacturer will put a date on there when that smoke detector was built. And, you know, for years, I think everybody thought they would last forever, but now the standard is to replace them every 10 years. So there should be a date on the back there when it was manufactured.
So you replace the smoke detector every 10 years.
Every 10 years.
Why do we have to do that?
Well, they have some, a little bit of radioactive material in there that helps detect that. And I guess it just wears its life. Wears out, and so they don't work as well as they should, so they recommend you replace them every 10 years.
And John, how long have you been with the fire department?
3 years. No, I've been there for 37 years.
37 years.
Yeah.
And so you've been around really at the birth of smoke alarms into being installed in homes. Have you seen, is there, I know what's the benefit? Have you personally seen a benefit to the citizens?
I've never seen a person seriously injured in a house fire that had a working smoke detector in it.
And conversely, the other side of that?
I've seen the tragedy that happens when you don't have them.
So they you must have one.
Yeah, it's not an option. And years ago, there's a video that we watched of a traditional style house that had all cotton linens and cotton curtains and the old foam cushions in the couches and stuff, and those fires they're so much different today because all the polyesters and the plastics and stuff, fires just spread so much faster in a home these days because of the materials they're built out of. So it's a you've got to have a smoke alarm, and you need a CO detector also.
And you need to check them.
You need to replace the batteries at least once a year. We recommend you change them when you change your clocks. In the fall when you change your clock, put new batteries in it. In the spring when you change it back,
most of it, a 9-volt battery will slide right in.
Yeah, most of them are a 9-volt battery. There may be a few out there that are double-A's or something, but most of them are a 9-volt battery.
And if I don't have one, what can I do? Is there anything I can do?
Well, the Red Cross has been doing a smoke detector program. We did one a few years ago and put a lot of smoke detectors out.
Got a grant?
Yeah. And
about $5,000 grant.
Yeah, I can't remember how much it was. That was under another administration. But I know we put a lot of smoke detectors in the community. And now I know Red Cross, actually, we just got through helping them here a week ago, I think it was. Went out and put some other detectors up for residents that need them that applied through the Red Cross. And we always assist them with that when that happens about once a year.
Yeah, John, appreciate what you guys...
Placement of those detectors, John. I know there's directions on the package, but sometimes people don't read the directions. Can you, walk me through some of that?
Yeah, I mean, typically I prefer them to be on the ceiling, and you need to be at least 12 inches off of the wall. And the same way, if you're going to put it on the wall, probably about 12 inches down, because there's kind of a dead area, dead space that's created that the smoke don't, kind of, for whatever reason, they don't work as well when you get them up close in a corner. We recommend you put one in every sleeping area and outside of each sleeping area. If you've got a hallway that's, as long as you've got it within about 40 feet of the bedroom doors, you're probably all right. I hesitate to say bedroom. I say sleeping areas because if you sleep in a recliner in the living room, that becomes a sleeping area. So, anywhere you may be sleeping, you need to have a working smoke detector.
And John, as we talk about fire prevention, of course there are a number of homes that have fireplaces, and they have, and I know fires in relationship to flues, people get careless and throw things in their attic and they get things, paper material up against a flue, and problems happen.
Yeah, you want to keep combustibles at least 3 feet away from candles, portable heaters, anything like that, and have your chimneys swept, cleaned out at least once a year to keep the chrysos from building up from burning green wood and stuff, you know. And we run on chimney fires, and most of the time, you know, probably 70% of the time, they don't cause much damage. But every once in a while, you get one that has got a crack in the concrete or something that will set the attic on fire. And so, yeah, make sure you have your chimney swept, and to keep those chimney fires to a minimum.
John, how many firemen do we have total?
I believe. Well, there's 70 total. Well, 69, 70 if I count Bev, but she don't fight much fire.
Well, yes, she does. She puts out lots of fires at the fire department. She puts out more fires than anybody at the department.
That's probably true.
And appreciate all that you're men and women, because we do have.
We have one and female firefighter.
And I just want to compliment Oklahoma Wesleyan University Friday night. Had a special event for policemen and firemen. Recognition of you all.
And yeah, that was. We was honored to be invited to participate in that, and it was a it was a good evening. We enjoyed it.
President Means, and then Everett Piper, Dr. Piper. Appreciate them hosting that event and recognizing the work that you all do, and the speaker, Mr. Cochran, fire chief from Atlanta, Georgia. Appreciate his message to us, and thank you all for what you do, John.
Well, I appreciate it. And I appreciate the college recognizing us, and that was really special that they would recognize our department.
Before we sign you off, who are you going to call? I mean, who if somebody, if I have a question about smoke detectors or any kind of a problem that I'm suspicious of my house, that there's, do I have it right or wrong? Who can they call?
Well, you can always call 911, and
yeah, that's in an emergency.
But you can call Central Fire Station. You can call my office. You know, if you have any questions,
give us a number.
338-4091. My office number is 338-4098. You can call, see the guys out shopping or something. You got a question about a smoke detector or something? We'll pull them aside and ask them. I mean, be safe and check your smoke alarms. And
Chief John and Ray Banks.
Yes.
Thank you for coming in today.
All right.
I appreciate you volunteering.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now, for our next victim, this is sound like Halloween to our next victim. Sound like Boris, and I do sound like a little bit like Boris Karloff.
You do have a little bit of that bass resonance here this morning.
Yeah, it sound like an announcer.
You could.
Morning, Vice Mayor Copeland.
Good morning.
I'm glad to see that you're here this morning, and we're here specifically because of a council meeting 1 week ago. Tell us about that council meeting 1 week ago.
Well, the first council meeting of the month, we cover a lot of different things, but specifically had a really good in-depth presentation about the future capital needs for Bartlesville. Everybody just goes along and assumes these things are going to happen, but someone has to plan and look out not only a month or a year, but 5 years, 10 years, to plan what are we going to need, what's coming up, and specifically talk about streets, talk about sewer, fresh water, talk about parks and recreation. And we had a really good presentation Terry Lauritsen put together that went into an overview of where we were, how we got to where we are today, and what we're going to need to do to get to where we need to be to keep Bartlesville growing.
Yeah, and again, some citizens may not know or remember that in 2002, the mayor at the time, Ted Locken, as a result of the drought, established a 15-member committee made up of a resident, one resident from each ward, plus the users outside the city of Bartlesville. That is, there was Kay Martin has chaired that committee for quite some time, and the Osage tribe was represented there. Jim Bridenstine is on that particular committee, but they were tasked with solving our long-term water supply. As a result of that, there was a plan assistance, a state study that was done that said the next place the city of Bartlesville is going to get water is going to be Copan Lake. We get it out of Hula. The next place we go is build a pipeline from Copan to Bartlesville plant, water plant, and treat that water. So I want you to take up the thread of the thought as was given to the council about our long-term water supply. And Vice Mayor, where are we going?
Well, the background is that Hula has served us well, plus the Caney River, which has been used since the city was founded. But as lakes will do, after approximately 60 years, the Hula Lake is slowly silting in, and the capacity of that lake is projected by the Corps to continually reduce, and we're going to have as our water needs go up and the lake production goes down. So they pointed to Copan as the most reasonable source. I believe there's roughly 2.5 times as much water in Copan, so it would serve us quite well. We don't have a pipeline there now, so that would have to be built.
And the Corps of Engineers that did the study, it's a $95,000 study. It was paid for. The state of Oklahoma paid in large part for that. The Osage Nation came up with, I think, a portion of that. And then the city of Bartlesville paid the rest. Senator John Ford was the person that helped us walk that through. So the Corps did the study and said, you're going to get your water from Copan Lake. And Vice Mayor, what was the cost of that?
That's the sticking
questions.
Point.
The cost of the water and the cost of the pipeline. Yeah. Take whichever one you want first.
The cost of the water is a really big hurdle because right now we have multiple contracts for water supply, but they come out around $68. I believe it's an acre foot, get my terminology correct. The Corps said that the Copan water under current federal guidelines would be about $1,600. That's a 24-fold increase, which is just not doable. It's not acceptable. I don't think anybody believes we can go to the Bartlesville citizens. Plus, we serve not just Bartlesville. We serve almost all of Washington County, into Osage County, into Nowata County. So there's a lot of people that depend on Bartlesville for water. To have a 24-fold increase in water rates would just be unacceptable. So been working with that, trying to get a WERDA bill, Water Resource Development Act, Senator Endehoff, Senator Lankford, Representative Bridenstine, different ones have worked on that. There's a GAO, General Accounting Office, study that has still not been reported that is hopefully going to come out with recommendations to make this a reasonable rate that Bartlesville can afford. But
and we're the guinea pig for the entire United States.
We're the focus of that study and that report.
Lakes with non-hydro power.
Right, yeah. The study is something that it's not that they would get less, because right now, as I understand, they're getting nothing. So anything that Bartlesville could buy would be a plus that the city of Bartlesville would help share the cost of that lake. But the second part is, if that is resolved satisfactorily, then we have to get the water. In the past, in special situations, low water, drought type conditions, they would just release the water into the river and it eventually gets to Bartlesville. The loss on that, I believe Terry has said, is in the neighborhood of 25%. So we get billed for 100%, but we only get 75%. Not a perfect solution going forward. So a pipeline to lay up there, depending on a lot of variables, but somewhere in the neighborhood of $15 to $20 million, I think, is that somewhat correct?
Yes, and Vice Mayor, who sets the pricing for water on these lakes? And we don't, the city really doesn't own the lake, do they?
No, the city doesn't own the lake, although it's been said we probably paid for Hula Lake over the years with the fees that we pay. We pay for storage. We don't pay for the water per se, but we pay for the storage that the Corps provides, whether we use it or not. We pay for a set amount of storage. And then the second thing, we pay for maintenance and operation, a proportion of that we pay for. And we're willing to do that with a Copan Lake.
Who sets the pricing on that water per acre foot?
That's set by the federal government through previous law, previous regulation that the Corps feels they have to follow to arrive at this $1,600 rate. And so what's being asked is, let's go back and look at that. That might be good on an energy like the Tennessee Valley Authority, where they're using it to produce energy, but on a recreational and flood control structure, as Copan and Hula are, that to get those water storage rights, nobody else is using them. I believe Copan has a small allocation, that Bartlesville can get that, help share those costs and benefit not just Bartlesville, but the whole area.
And so what you keep using the number $1,600, that's per acre foot.
Per acre foot.
And when you multiply that by several thousand acre feet, mm-hmm. it becomes very expensive. It runs into the millions and millions, and it's bigly, as Donald Trump would say. It's a bigly number.
It does get big very quick. The government uses millions like you and I use $5 and $10 bills. So $50 million is not an unusual number for them. It would just be catastrophic, I think, is a fair word to use for our water rate structure.
All right, so Vice Mayor, we just have about 10 minutes left in the program. Tell me what's the solution? Where are we going from here?
Well, there's multiple actions being taken. The Water Study Group, different ones have made trips to Washington. The legislators there are very aware of our interest and concerns. But barring that happening in a timely fashion, another opportunity has come along. That is the, I believe it's referred to as the Water for 2060 Act, that says we shouldn't use any more water in 2060 than we used basically in 2012, I think was the baseline year.
That was established by the OWRB.
Right. How are we going to get there? One of the things that's come up with the improvements in technology is the ability to what's called water reuse. And that would take the water effluent, the technical term for it, push that upstream essentially 5 miles on the river, about 3 miles as the crow flies, inject that back into the river. We put it into the river now. We just put it in and it goes south and east of here. If we put it in above us, then that 5 to 6 million gallons per day on average would flow back to Bartlesville, where it could then be blended with the river and reused. In the wintertime, when we use 5 to 6 million gallons and we output 5 to 6 million gallons, you rapidly reach a place where you could look at almost a zero net use.
Do we get water off the Caney River?
We do now get water off the Caney River. We have rights and have had for many, many years. In fact, at one point, that's the only place we got water. The low water dam there under the old bridge at Johnstone Park, there's a pump station just above that. That water is drawn out and pumped up to the water plant to be treated and distributed. So anything coming down to Johnstone Park, the state, many years ago, Bartlesville has rights to 5 to 6 million gallons per year, I believe is correct, that we can use. So it almost closed the loop for us in water reuse and really help us out with our water needs going forward. Even as Gila Lake diminishes, water reuse would provide a bridge until something could be resolved, hopefully with Copan.
So the Plan Assistance to State study that was done looked at population growth in Washington County, the surrounding area, and then they took that population and then looked at water reuse was never a part of the original study, was it?
No, it was not. Originally, everything was presumed that it would be like it had always been and that we would just need more water, going up to almost 13 million gallons per day.
And the Plan Assistance to State study that was done by the Corps of Engineers in cooperation with the city, that took us out how far, Dale?
2050, 2055, quite a distance.
And so they solved our water needs for the next 50 years with the Plan Assistance to State study. Here in the last 18, 24 months, water reuse, because of the drought that was in southwest Oklahoma and in Bartlesville, we suffered in that drought. Water reuse became a topic in the city council.
It became a viable solution. OWRB, ODEQ are looking at that now, I believe, under state direction to set standards and set guidelines. But we were very close, as I recall, within days of establishing mandatory water reductions. And that's not something we want to do. And on the other end of that, when an industry comes to look at Bartlesville, we're always trying to recruit industry. When they come in, one of the questions may very well be, our business needs X gallons of water per day. Can you provide that?
And let's explore water reuse a little further. Dale, are other places doing this?
I don't know about Oklahoma. California is one place I understand that's using reuse at the current time. It's not an untested technology, but it's relatively new.
So the western arid states are using water reuse.
They have water problems that are much bigger than ours, but water is probably, many people say, is your most valuable resource for any community or any state, nation.
And so we do water reuse, Vice Mayor. We're exploring that possibility. We're working with ODEQ to to establish that. And as a result of water reuse, what will that do for us?
If we can get water reuse ironed out and get the solution, the cost drops significantly. Depending on the numbers, you're always using certain numbers, but all of a sudden your cost versus using the Copan water drops by less than half. They calculate about $5.5 million per million gallons with the Copan solution. Using water reuse drops that to $2.4 million. So it's a very economical solution. The upfront cost in the, you know, $7 to $10 million to get that on board instead of 10 or 20 or 40 or however many million dollars it costs to supply water from Copan.
The last time with the outflow structure in Copan Lake, mm-hmm. it was $32 million to build the pipeline and the outflow structure mm-hmm. that's variable draw structure in Copan Lake. So it's a very expensive project to build a pipeline from Copan to Bartlesville.
Plus the lead times are longer. This could happen much quicker at a much lower cost and yield the results that we need for many years. 3 to 5 million gallons per day would really, as a bridge, basically would get us forward into the future and give us some space to work out these long-term solutions.
Vice Mayor, some folks are listening thinking, drinking what?
Well, this is not Terry Lauritsen's solution or explanation. This is mine, and Terry doesn't agree. That's okay. But I've told people that if you get a 5-gallon pail and you go get 5 gallons of effluent and you go down to the river just below that and you get 5 gallons of river water and get 2 goldfish, the next morning you're going to find a happy goldfish in the effluent pail, but you will find perhaps a floating goldfish in the river pail. The water we put into the river is higher quality than the water we take out of the river. In Oklahoma, the Caney River is muddy because it largely comes from fields in different places. So the quality and then the treatment process it goes through, those will be regulated by the OWRB or the ODEQ, get my letters correct here, so that it meets all state and federal guidelines and standards.
So, and Vice Mayor, are we drinking effluent now?
Well, we can't say that we are, but I almost have to believe we are because there's people that live upstream of us. People live upstream of us. Wildlife lives upstream of us. You know, I spend time going camping in the mountains, and there's bears and beavers and woodchucks, and sometimes they're close to the river. So those things happen. But yes, and in fact, if you think about it, what we put in the river goes down the river, and there's people that live down there. So
this water reuse is not just a bridge. It is a solution to a problem.
It's a long-term part of the solution. That's right. As we grow, it gets us our problem solved for many years. Hopefully Bartlesville continues to grow and we need more solutions, but it is a part of the solution that we need, and it's the part that's available short-term at a cost that's very reasonable.
Well, I know that the council is often faced with many choices that they have to make. This is one of those that we've got to get right.
Well, we really do. You want to get it right. You want to do it one time. So a lot of thought and a lot of study and a lot of process goes into that, because you talk large sums of money. You talk about an infrastructure that has to work. We don't really want to have do-overs, if you will. So we want to get it right, and I think we're on the right path.
Well, I do believe that this is one good piece of the puzzle that will fix our water problems for perhaps the next 175 to 100 years. Mm-hmm. And that, what an exciting opportunity to think about, because the way it's set up with water reuse and water from Copan and Hula Lake and reallocation and those things. And we'll talk more about this as we explore this subject on the next radio program.
It's a piece of the puzzle, but people wonder, why don't they do my favorite thing? And yet Bartlesville has to look at parks and water and sewer and streets. And this is a very important part. Without water, the fire chief really doesn't have much of a job.
Be true. You could watch the structure, yes.
It's about all you could do without that water. Got to have it.
Vice Mayor Copeland, thank you for being here today and being a part of this. And Chief Johnny Ray, thank you for participating in this program. Charlie? God bless the city of Bartlesville.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.
CBS News. I'm